Welcome to episode 105 of the Gaming Persona Podcast. This is the show that explores who we become when we play games. I'm your host, Dr. Gameology, from Twitch and grad school classrooms across the country. Still Twitch. That's cute. I'm giving myself credit for that. And I'm joined by two of my best friends from my gaming journey, Jenny LeBron and Gene Wong. Friends, how are we doing right now?
I'm doing fantastic, and I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty great, too.
All right, GG, have fun. This was a good episode.
Oh, also, we're on Twitch right now.
I know, I realized that as soon as I said it. I was just commenting that my life has gotten not the normal flow of events, and I've not been able to do the things I wish I was doing. Before we get into all that, where can our listeners find us, Jenny?
You can find my photography page on Instagram at j.lebronphotography or jlebronphotography.com if you're curious about what a nerdy person's photos look like.
And I'm Dr. Gameology on Twitch and other social apps. And I do counseling at AOE Counseling. I run a treatment program nationwide in telehealth at Kindbridge Behavioral Health. And of course, on this show every week, the gaming persona on your favorite listening app.
Yeah, you kind of bled into my section.
I took your words.
Yeah, that's fine. The gaming persona can be found on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, and most anywhere else podcasts can be found.
I'm so sorry, Gene.
Where's that timer?
Oh, no. All right. Well, again, as always, thank you to our patrons for supporting us. We have Doritos, we have Dr. Neil, and we have Brian. So thank you so much for helping us elevate our skill tree for the show. So let's go ahead and do The Ordinary World, where we share everyday life through our games. I believe the sound effect did not work because when you update apps, everything breaks. So, All right, both of you, how are you doing this week in the world of gaming? Who'd like to go first?
Gene, you can go first. I was here last week.
Oh, okay. I actually haven't played a whole lot because I was on a road trip for the last 4 days. Ooh. So, yeah, we explored the coast of Maine. It's all mountains and water. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I did play a little bit on my Switch. I got the Final Fantasy Pixel Remaster, so I've been replaying an old classic, Final Fantasy V.
I got those two when I got my Steam Deck, and I started Final Fantasy I.
All right.
I have not been doing much different than what I've been doing the past few weeks, which is playing Magic Arena, March of the Machines, drafting.
I was looking at your notes and I was like, why are you talking about your mom meeting?
Yes. So MTG, Magic the Gathering, Mom, which is the new set. It's really fun. I've also started watching a streamer that is very educational for me. Nami, I think he's like a pretty popular Magic streamer. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I've learned a lot from him. And I did a draft the other day where I went 4-0.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really great. And then I ended up only winning one more. So I didn't make it all the way to the end, but it was still fun. And then other than that, I've honestly just been doing a lot of stuff preparing. I'm moving in a month, nowhere far, just out of the place I'm currently in. And then my actual house that I own, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on with that house. So,
oh no, so much drama.
Yeah, it's annoying. And it's a time suck and a money suck. And also, insurance companies suck. So yeah. They're terrible. But yeah.
I'm glad I no longer live in a state where the insurance blows.
Yeah. There's no options left for us here in Florida. No one wants to insure us.
I was driving down the road today and I was hit with this really sad feeling about how our friend Jessica is gone and how you're gone, Gene. And I just said out loud to my wife all this stuff, like, I really miss just one after the other. Well, it was only two people. I'm an introvert, so that felt like a really long list, but now that I'm saying it out loud, I realize that it's just a nobody's ever going to come back here. Because when I travel and I'm speaking in other states, we're such a punchline to the joke now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. We have been for a very long time, but it's worse.
The last few years just accelerated it to maximum velocity.
Oh, yeah.
But
indeed.
Yeah, now I'm sad and I'm stuck podcasting a show. I'm supposed to have positive energy and hope and level up your mental health. Ah,
my current coworkers and stuff commend me for escaping when I did. Like, so, like, it's all.
Oh, yeah. I went through that in 2017 and then moron me decided to come back. Like Luke Skywalker in Return of the Jedi, and that trip to Tatooine was not great. All right. Well, I want to share an amazing update about playing video games, but I wasn't the person playing. My son, an hour ago, beat Persona 4 Golden.
Nice.
So
that's awesome.
Did he manage to get the extra stuff of Marie or just
say? Yeah, no, he finished everything. So
nice.
My wife played through Persona 3 Portable on our PS5. And during that, my son had the guide open and was planning out things and working on her, having conversations well enough to get to the best ending and accomplish a few other things. And so then they decided during that playthrough that my son was going to be the person playing in command of the control for Persona 4 and Persona 5. So I expect they will start Persona 5 Royal soon, maybe even tomorrow.
Aww.
But it's been really cool for me because I love those games and I've done my best to represent them well in my book that nobody's read yet. Someday they will, I swear. And so, by the way, my editor, Dr. Anthony Bean of the Psychology of Geek series and Geek Therapeutics has given me a mandate to work on how wordy my writing style is and get the word count to where a certain kind of binding will work because he's worried that if the book looks like Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, it won't sell to these teenagers at PAX East West Fan Expo, stuff like that. And that is our primary audience for the publisher. So I would like the book to sell. And I can always
need some sexy cover art like sci-fi novels.
Oh, we have, well, okay. Like, are you talking sexy? Because I wouldn't say the artwork that we're currently working with has any sexy unless you're into the Traveler from Journey.
Okay.
Not the kind that circulates on like all those terrible channels, like I don't even know the name of the terrible channels, but where they sexify everything. We don't need that. We don't need the Journey comic porn image stuff.
Sure.
Wow, look at where you plunged our conversation, Gene. what was I even talking about?
Oh, you need to shorten your book because it's too long.
Right, but except the whole thing that happened at the end of Persona 4, I hadn't played Persona 4 since about 2016. And so me watching my son do it, and I realized I didn't even talk about the mythological significance of how this fight resolves the story of Persona 4. And I know exactly which chapter this will fit. And my wife said, but Tony told you to shrink the book. I said, yeah, but he hasn't read it yet, so he won't know if I made it better. So I am shrinking the book. I really like what chapter 1 and 2 are becoming, which is actually 10% of the book. But Izanami and Izanagi are going to get put into that book in a big way. And I'm so excited to fix that. I mean, it wasn't an oversight because I definitely covered the monomyth topic where I can fit them in. But that's just such a cool boss fight at the end of the game. And it belongs in my book. So, yeah, fun stuff.
I'm glad. That's so cool that he'll be playing the game that you were playing when we started this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Persona 5 was the transition game for me to switch from Dr. SWTOR to Dr. Gameology and really double down on gaming and mental health and not just being the MMO streamer. I also bought a Steam Deck, which I kind of referenced when Gene got me excited about replaying Final Fantasy V a couple minutes ago. But I also wanted to be able to play Final Fantasy 14 on it. So I started a new account because you cannot have Steam and the PC version on the same account. Mm-hmm. So I started a new account, created a new version of Kyrie that is a Viera. And I'm playing A Realm Restarted. Well, I mean, A Realm Reborn. I'm restarting A Realm Reborn. I'm actually writing notes in a journal the same way I do when I'm playing D&D so that I can follow the story and remember characters that are worth remembering. So I'm not trying to remember everyone. There are people that are not worth remembering in video games and in life. You quote me on that.
Yeah.
But I'm having a lot of fun. I know a lot of people don't like A Realm Reborn, but I'm finding it super engaging to look at just what the characters were at the beginning is amazing. And knowing where it's going to go actually helps you to pay closer attention to certain things that would have felt mundane as a new player. So it's so much fun, and it got me through my surgery recovery. It was a very big part of my work week last week because I had to alternate between getting through work on my laptop, and then it just helped with pain management, and I couldn't move around. So it was nice just to have something. Oh, there was another game that I tried. Segway. Tears of the Kingdom came out while I was recovering. And so I thought, I've never actually finished Breath of the Wild. And I know psychology people go to panels all the time and talk about games that they've never played. I know it's true. It's not even it's not surprising. That's just how it is. People that do the kind of work I do not always play the games they're talking about. But I do. That is a line that I will never cross. And if I do have to cross it, I promise you, I go straight home and I buy the game and I make sure that, I have something to contribute that has a mix of my experience in it the very next time. And so I thought, I'm going to finish Breath of the Wild, right? But then I started playing Breath of the Wild, and my game save was from 2019. So I did not remember Breath of the Wild, and I couldn't control Link worth crap, which I thought was because I forgot everything that I learned in 2019. Turns out the controls in that game are garbage, and it had nothing to do with my memory.
Uh-huh.
And I don't like the game. So, Jenny and Jean, does that make me a bad gamer, especially after episode 104 was about how good this game was for the story of mental health in video games?
No, I'm going to tell you that Breath of the Wild and now Tears of the Kingdom are, I consider, very unsatisfying games. Yes, controls are a part of it. But the way the game is made is just generally unappealing. Like, the UI is not cool at all. You have to press way too many buttons to do anything that you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The Korok Seed saga, you know, of which there are 900 Korok Seeds, is not exciting. Like, if you compare this to another open world adventure game,
like Genshin Impact.
Well, sure. Well, no, not that. But but like, say, Elden Ring. In Elden Ring, when you run around, you look for the corpses with the loot. You know, you're solving puzzles, you're jumping up on things, you're falling off of things. Every time you go to one of these things, you're hoping to get something cool. A new spell, a new weapon, a new armor set. Something to expand the way you play the game.
Yes.
In Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, when 99% of what you get is a Korok Seed, there is no excitement. It's like, all right, I got another Korok Seed. Like, when you're playing these games, you're kind of asked, you're subconsciously asking yourself questions of, like, if I go fight that guy and open that chest, what am I going to get? If the answer to that question every time is Korok Seed.
And do the Korok Seeds do anything?
Sort of. Like, they upgrade your backpack space. So, like, for the first couple dozen Korok Seeds, you're excited about it. It's like, all right, my backpack's better. But then
storage later on, like, space. What is this, a Resident Evil game?
Later on, once your backpack is of sufficient size, it's just massive diminishing returns on the excitement. It's like, okay, cool.
Oh, man. I also would like to say, go ahead, Jenny. I'm still thinking.
I was going to say, I don't think it makes you a, I don't know what your question was, but I don't think it makes you a bad gamer, but it just isn't. I feel like the game. Okay, so I think I may have played the game like once or twice so long ago that I don't remember anything about it. But I know that the game is known for just how beautiful it is and how peaceful it is and how, if you don't play games for that, like if you're not going to sit down and play Stardew Valley, like I can see how this game wouldn't be that fun for you.
Yeah, Jenny. And oh my gosh, I have to.
That is totally a fair thing to assert, but that is not what most people go into a Zelda game for.
Everyone, they go in for the story. I have to interject. Eorzea is 1,000 times prettier than Hyrule. The lands between, as sad as they are, is 10,000 times more beautiful to just look at than Hyrule.
Right.
Hyrule, because it's on the Switch, looks like it's a Full Sail University senior project where they didn't have time to put in textures for their trees. And I know people love this game. We might have a plunge in our download count come next episode.
I mean, even me with my criticism, I don't consider it a bad game. I just consider it an unsatisfying game. I don't.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off. The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out the Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
I think they leaned in to purposefully being mean to the player. And I don't even mean in a From Software kind of way. I'm directly comparing Elden Ring and Dark Souls with Breath of the Wild. And I have not played Tears of the Kingdom yet because I will not play it until I finish Breath of the Wild. And I will torture myself until I beat Breath of the Wild.
Well, a lot of people assert that, like, if you don't like Breath of the Wild, you should just skip it and play Tears of the Kingdom.
Because... No, I won't. I won't do it.
So one criticism of Tears of the Kingdom is that a lot of people feel like it's basically an expansion pack to Breath of the Wild. So, like...
The other thing that comes to my mind is... It's like, how do we get people who play a ton of Fortnite or Minecraft to be interested in playing Zelda? And I think that that's a good way to get buys, you know, and get the massive install base for the Switch to convert people into a purchase for Tears of the Kingdom. It'll get their numbers up because the install base for those two games is... universally huge. I wonder how good of a Zelda game it is for people who are interested in the narrative expansion of the lore of Link, Zelda, and Ganondorf.
Well, I mean, so I don't know how far you actually got in Breath of the Wild, but it has no dungeons. And that is absurd for a game that is... iconic for its dungeons.
Yes, I know. So the shrine system kind of is sad to me because it's usually one or two puzzles, like the kind you would do in a dungeon.
Yeah.
And so it is cool to, they're all physics puzzles too. And I wouldn't call the traditional dungeons that you would solve from Ocarina of Time forward as physics puzzles.
Generally not.
It was procedural puzzles.
Yeah.
And I've never been a fan of physics puzzles, because what I mean by that, and I might not be correct because I'm not a game developer, but when I say a physics puzzle, I mean you need the movement to be correct along with the idea. Meaning you can have the right idea, but if you don't nail the flow of gravity... pulling the items a certain way, you still will fail because those items are programmed to operate in a physics-based way in the environment, whereas you don't have any of that in the SNES because everything is two-dimensional, up, down, left, right. Mm-hmm. And then also the N64 was more rigid too. It was more like shoot the thing, throw the bomb, open the door. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
And in Breath of the Wild, the few shrines that I've done, like maybe 11 of them, the sad thing is the playthrough that I abandoned, I actually had upgraded 4 or 5 hearts. So that's, what, between 16 and 20 shrines that I'd completed. And I was in the Zora domain. I was about to go do the first big thing, but I couldn't figure out how to use my items or... get past one enemy. So I was like, I need to go back to the beginning so the old man tells me what to do. Also, your weapons break. like so often. And Link has no stamina to climb. And in my opinion, you start out more endowed for success as a Tarnished than you do as Link. Which is absurd.
Well, it's also true. I believe you can just... Well, you definitely can beat a level 1 go in every FromSoft game. Not sure how little you can do in a Breath of the Wild to win.
Oh, I'm sure there's speedrunners that have just gone straight to the castle and killed Ganondorf in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Calamity.
I know it's possible. I know it's possible because there's various ways to get absurdly overpowered through like food and just stockpiling the best weapons in the game and just bleh.
So for a person who has used 100 times in therapy, do or do not, there is no try. I would say that I'm trying so hard that I am do nodding in Breath of the Wild. Mm.
Yeah. Well, no, well, that's another thing. The game, yeah, with the weapon durability and other things, the game kind of encourages you to play a specific way where you want to avoid combat, you want to hoard a backpack full of top tier weapons and just annihilate like the objective enemies, not the random enemies. It's like you just run up to a boss, blop, move on. Like
that's so sad. I want to play the game. I want to fight.
Yeah. Oh. It's like those videos that you see in Elden Ring where people eat like 10 buffs and then blast the boss with Comet Azure and end the boss in 1.5 seconds. It's kind of, that's the preferred play style of Breath of the Wild.
But I don't play Elden Ring that way either.
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay. I'm currently in the second chapter of my book where I bring in gaming motivations, which is our sweet spot on the show. And I have a few gaming motivations that are very low for me. And the funny thing is the three of us as a puzzle for gaming motivation kind of are the Triforce. You know, it's really interesting how we cover the ways of playing that the other two do not. Discovery is not my thing. And as a result, I love Final Fantasy XIV and Elden Ring, and I want to beat Zelda for the same reason that I stuck with it in Elden Ring. Is before I won my first playthrough, I was just driven on the idea of I want to be part of the group that has beaten Elden Ring.
Okay.
And then once I did it, and I was like, well, now I want two of these weapons, so I got to do it again. Mm-hmm. So that I can dual wield my favorite, the Moonveil Katana. And I wanted to also have the big magic sword you get from the Ranni quest line. I wanted to have two of those. So mm-hmm. I did it again. And then I was hooked. I was like, I want to get the different endings now. And maybe that'll happen to me in Breath of the Wild. Maybe there's something that will be my hook. And it'll be like, now I have my why. Mm-hmm. And right now it's just, I do honestly feel bad that when people, my original idea for the show that got us on this topic, I know it sounds like we might not be talking about anything except bitching about Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
But my original idea was all my friends have disappeared for a week and I can't find them as easily because they're all playing Tears of the Kingdom. Well, not the two of you, but like in the geek therapy community, there's like this wink, wink, nod, nod. You're not going to get me to do that project this week because I'm playing Tears of the Kingdom. Yeah. And I'm not that kind of person. I will never say that I can't do an important thing because I'm playing a video game. I'll fit both of them into my life, but that's not a message I will ever type. even if it's true, I'm not going to type it. So I was just thinking, you know, sometimes people on other podcasts that are more entertainment oriented and less about academics, you know, things like that you'll find on IGN or Kind of Funny Games, they talk about the word addictive when they're describing a new game. And that's a badge of honor. So I was thinking about that too. Like, ooh, if I go on the gaming persona and I start like beaming about how addictive Tears of the Kingdom is, that's a different episode for us, I think. Yeah. So what do we, let's talk about that. I don't have my sound effects to transition into other segments, but let's call that the road trials where we face our challenges and discover our strengths. The word addictive for video games. The two of you have done, Jenny, you've probably done like 80 episodes of the show, 85 maybe. Gene, you've probably done 35 or 40 at this point. That's like off the top of my head. It's completely wrong. But
I have not missed 30 episodes.
It would only be 20, Jenny. I don't know. You're in New York a lot for very important things. The happiest day of people's lives that lead to the saddest days of their lives.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. No, it's not. It's not my problem that I am allergic to couples therapy as a clinician. All right. So before doing the gaming persona, did you ever play a game that was renowned for being addictive?
I mean, both of us, we have been involved with Magic, which is literally a drug, basically.
It really is. Opening packs is so fun.
Like, you know, yeah, what? The yeah. original loot box. All right. The yes. original loot box.
Oh, gee.
I could probably get a pretty good following of clinicians of me just doing commentary on pack opening.
I'm sure.
There we are should, so many we should, people.
We should talk about this. but no, yeah, Magic the Gathering for sure. There was a time where I was addicted to Candy Crush. Like, it got bad.
Like in that one YouTube video with the puppets?
Oh, gosh, I remember this video, but I don't remember why it's funny, but I remember it being really funny.
Oh, because he turns into a tweaker over yes. the Candy Crush. He starts seeing it everywhere. And his
That's what happened to me.
Yeah, his I whole literally, character falls apart.
I saw it. Like, I was watching a comedy special. I probably told this story on the podcast before, but I was watching a comedy special. It had nothing to do with Candy Crush at all, but the background of, like, the stage was, like, checkered with different symbols. And, like, in my brain, I was like, oh, if I flip that, then it would match. And I was like, this is bad. I gotta stop.
I think and that I might be what they call the game. Game transfer phenomena is yeah, where you yeah, start okay. seeing elements of the game outside of the game.
Mm-hmm. So I stopped.
Very good.
How did but you yeah, do that? I think,
oh, I just deleted it.
There are so wow. many people that I know that can't do things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting.
I do that with many things. Like, if I notice that I'm Uber Eatsing too many things, I'll just delete the apps from my phone. If I notice, there was a time when my editing queue was so backed up and I deleted all the social media apps from my phone until I was done. So
I'm noticing that all of these problems start on your phone.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe we should start a different show that's called The Smartphone Persona.
It's too no, accessible. That sounds, but no, I think
that's a sucky show idea. I'm killing it now.
Okay. No convoy. So huh. I also was, I don't know if I was addicted to, but when I first started playing Final Fantasy, like, that's an addictive game to me.
It Which was one? 14?
So 14, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, that was... Well, I mean, I played at the original... The Around Reborn release, and that was an absurd time. You know, it was... That was like, I don't know, 12 hours a day for several days.
Hmm. I've never done that once. Not even for one day, I don't think. Maybe I don't think I should. I wish I could, you know?
Well, we played... Well, our friend group was led by a guy that was basically a psychopath. He really wanted to be like, so at back in those days, if you were the very first person to max out every job, you would get a crown cosmetic that no one else could have.
Oh.
Or No. Not that no one else could have. It's just that only a person that could max out every single job would have that crown. He wanted to be the very first person on the server to have the crown.
Oh, wow.
By sheer force of momentum and us trying to be his friend, like, hey, we want to play this dungeon with you. We can't be in that dungeon with you if we don't keep up.
How would you even know that you're the first person on a server to have something?
I don't know. There was a way to track it, apparently.
Was he like just going into search and looking at all the players and being like, no one has it yet, suckers.
Possibly. I don't know. But there was a way to track it. And yeah, so that dude was insane. And so like he was, you know, while we, the rest of us were at work or school, he would switch jobs and re-level the other jobs. So then when we got logged on, he would go back to his normal job and we progressed together on the normal job. But essentially he was progressing 3 times quicker than us with other jobs.
Maybe he wasn't a psychopath. Maybe he just had 100% on completion for his...
You shouldn't have that if you're playing an MMO, though. That is right. Very unhealthy. Also, danger. I am imagining that he had, like, 12 copies of your friend group, and they were all different people. And he was like, playing all of you. Not, like, playing, but, like, fooling all of you. So, like, he had another, like, like Asian financial analyst Gene, and when you were not available, like he played, he would play white mage when you're in his group. But then he has this other one where he would play gladiator or paladin, and then he'd have another exact demographic copy of you, and whoever the rest of your group was. I think he just probably had several friend groups, and he lined it up so that he could do leveling at every point in the day.
That could be true. I don't know.
Oh, man. Nobody should copy that strategy. Goodness. If you're listening to the Gaming Persona and that strategy sounded good to you, please revisit the reason we do this show. Level up your mental health, continue the journey. Those are the things we're here to do. Man, I don't even know where to go from here. I'm actually really tired. I think this conversation has created the kind of tired I was aiming for. Full circle. Is it okay to end here? Does this feel right?
We end on the conversation of a psychopath. Yes.
But everyone, please remember, I didn't call him a psychopath because that's a whole different level of professional weight. Gene can call people whatever he wants. And that's why we have him on the show, to say the things that I can't say. Right, Jenny?
Exactly.
But in general, we should abstain from name calling and be kind to other people.
My brain, I don't know what else you would call that behavior of this guy other than psychopath.
Listen, you have to be crazy to want to be the best in the world at anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I would definitely call, like, I've gone through, like, reading, like, materials about, like, if Michael Jordan wasn't a good basketball player, he would probably be just an insane person because he wouldn't have that outlet for his drive and energy.
Oh, that's a really good point. I actually, oh my gosh, I did buy a sports game this morning. Every time the sports season is close to the end, it's very easy to find a sale on their most recent games. So I bought on my Steam Deck NBA 2K23 as a way to deal with my grief over the Lakers getting swept by the Nuggets last night. Swept!
Jen.
Yes. Agreed. I know. I've been watching the playoff games, actually.
I have too, because I didn't have anything else to do.
Yeah.
My boyfriend is a Sixers fan, so
yeah. Oh, I'm trying to get behind the Celtics now that I live here, but it was about time to get into that.
Yeah, Miami is looking pretty sweet.
Yeah. But they did great against the Sixers.
Well, they won in seven, right? Like that's not great. But
the way that they won was in sure. Like, oh my yeah. God.
They dominated one game and they won the series in seven. Listen, I am the way I am because if I got an A in calculus, I'd be like, I got a 94. And my dad would be like, what questions did you miss? So yeah. I'm totally pulling that on the Boston Celtics right now. Yeah, but, you know, they make so much money. Who cares what I have to say about them? They're still alive. They might rewrite NBA history. This is not the sporting persona, okay? So
it's a game.
Breath of the Wild.
Basketball is a game.
Is sure it is. I bought the video game this morning.
Right.
I haven't played it yet. I probably actually won't. That's the terrible thing about Steam is I've actually bought so many games on Steam sale in the last, you know, 3 weeks because I've been watching them in my wish list for years, but I wasn't honestly that invested in Steam until I had the Steam Deck. And now I can play on the couch in the living room. I can play on my chair where I'm trying to avoid these screens. These screens are great to play video games on, but they're also where I work. And I think that sometimes I avoid playing video games at times where I could have fun because it's still like this chair sucks to sit in and it feels like work.
Yeah.
So the Steam Deck might revive the fun in video games for me. We'll see.
Yeah, okay, definitely happened to me.
Yeah, let's do the return and get back to our daily lives and take our next step forward. So we talked about a lot of stuff. I don't know if we had a focused academic topic today.
No.
Is there
end game?
Is there a what did you say?
I was going to say, can games being addictive be a good thing?
We didn't even talk about that.
Not really.
I just want everyone to think about that this week while they're playing Tears of the Kingdom and come back for our show next week. Yeah, I don't think I have anything left. I know I probably have to. Honestly, I probably have to grade like 40 papers after this show. So. Ugh. I think I should stop and like return to my daily life.
Yeah. I have to, you know, catch up on life since I've been in the wilderness for the last several days.
I'm going to go watch the Heat destroy the Celtics.
Oh my gosh. Wait. Before we go, I found out today that Final Fantasy 16, which releases in 1 month, is rated M for mature and is trying to be a Game of Thrones Final Fantasy with gameplay that takes its impression from God of War and Devil May Cry and is trying to create Advent Children style battles. So I don't know if anyone knows what everything I just said is, but that's everything that I love and have been waiting for to exist.
Wait, were you not aware of what it was till now?
No, I've been... Okay, Gene, video games get announced so far in advance, and sometimes they never happen, like the Knights of the Old Republic remake. So
yeah.
I generally don't care until a game is about to be real. Like, even with movies, during the prequel era, every single week of my life in between Attack of the Clones was about getting into Revenge of the Sith news. And I lived my life that way. And then it got to the point where starting 2 years out, every day was about Revenge of the Sith. And then like every hour is about Revenge of the Sith. And like, that's not a good way to live. So then you know, like some Star Wars movies happened since then that have kind of told me to chill because your heart might get broken. Oh. And so now even with video games, like with God of War Ragnarok, I was the same way. Like I didn't follow anything about it. I didn't even know that they were going to winter whatever the entire world. Oh. Yeah.
I followed just enough to make sure the game is not a train wreck, so I don't buy it.
No. The way I am, if a game...
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, if a game connects with something that I find important for the history of video games, like the Silent Hill 2 remake, if that game comes out, I'm buying it, and I don't care if it's a train wreck.
All right.
Because that game is important... The original game is important to the history of video games. And so like, I want to play the remake. I don't care. Like I deal with so many bad things in my life that if there's something I love that is bad, I can still enjoy it.
Okay.
I just feel like I do similar things for different reasons. So I don't like, if there's a movie that I'm excited for, I don't look it up. I usually don't even watch trailers. I don't listen to the internet before or after it comes out because I don't want to be influenced because I feel like the internet has very strong opinions that I very
the internet is trash.
Yeah.
Thank you everyone for watching our show live on Twitch.
But I mean, yeah, I do it just enough to make sure the game's not a train wreck because, you know, then you got situations like Jedi Survivor. Which doesn't function.
Well, yeah, I do wish I do. Why didn't I wait 60 more minutes to buy that game? Oh, man. Okay, so what is it called? The BD droid? The Imperial droid that's like Alan Tudyk in Rogue One?
Oh, K2S1.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, That droid in the opening scene of Jedi Survivor, you tell it a joke that it doesn't like, you make fun of him, and he punches you in the gut. And that punch sends my Steam Deck back into verifying its operating system.
It's so great.
It happened 4 times because I'm diligent. I was like, all I have to do is turn the graphics settings down and get past that punch, and I'll be able to play the game. Nope. Nope. Nope, yeah. Nope. Thank you, Respawn.
That's crazy.
I hope it's better next time I try. I know they've patched it several times, and I have not tried since the first of those patches. So maybe it's better. But, you know, I was...
People say the patches have mixed results. Some people it's better, some people it's worse. So it's an ongoing struggle.
I imagine it's a nightmare trying to create intense... quality video game for all the different specs that are out there for computers.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one thing I would say that is kind of a counterpoint to that though is all the Steam Decks are the same. So you could spend some time seeing if it's even possible for it to work on the Steam Deck because
yeah, at least before saying it's Steam Deck certified to because that implies that the game should work.
I actually don't know if they ever said it was Steam Deck certified. I mean, it takes a while after a game comes out for them to test it and put that green check mark on it in the menu.
Oh, okay.
Dead by Daylight just got the verified marking like a week and a half ago. Whoa. Ooh, you're so popular, Jenny.
Sorry, guys.
You're okay.
That's an alarm.
Oh, that's fine. It's probably saying, hey, Doc, didn't you try to end the episode 3 minutes ago?
My secret timer.
You did the timer like I was talking about in the pre-show. Listen, we're all real people doing very important things. So mm-hmm. We're just trying to share a little bit of that with you during the show. Uh-huh. If these conversations are sounding fun to you and you're looking for some great people to play online games with in beautiful worlds like Eorzea that put Hyrule to shame, check out AIE at aie-guild.org. And I have one last quest for everyone to collect for the day. Break your swords, find your shrines, and continue the journey.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Also, if you look at Gene right now, it looks like he has a bow on his head, and it's so cute.
Aww.
Wow.
Gene, adorable. That's the headgear that your psychopath was looking for.